Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Good morning once again, Oasis Church family. This morning, once again, we are, if you're just joining us, we're changing the way we do church for right now, just temporarily meeting in your homes and being with us there. And team, you can go ahead and be seated. Instead of gathering here like we normally do because of the, you know, the coronavirus and the guidelines by the government, which we've decided to respect those and be a part of the answer, amen, and help. And of course, if you were with us at the beginning, we prayed about that situation, or just believe in God that this thing is defeated in Jesus' name. But we wanted to bring you, amen, church, as, you know, I can't say as usual, but bring church to you so you don't miss a thing. We believe the same Spirit that's here today will also be in your home. Amen. So this morning, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Hallelujah. Jeremiah, the first chapter. And, you know, as praying about the service, I thought, well, maybe I ought to speak on something, you know, different, maybe address, you know, a lot of people are addressing, you know, don't be afraid. But I think you know that. Right. I think you know that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us the spirit of faith. And so we're not fear people, we're faith people. And so as I was praying, I spent some time just seeking God, and I just felt like He said, I just want you to continue on with your series. Amen. And that's what we're going to do. Amen. You may be saying, Pastor, what's the series? Okay, I'm going to tell you. I knew you were asking that, so I'm going to tell you. We began, I'm trying to think, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, we began a series on the power of words. And we're going to talk about that this morning. And and this is like our second in the series. But what I want to talk about this morning is, what are you calling yourself? You know, there's a lot of, and when I say, what are you calling yourself? Not just what are you calling yourself out loud, what are you calling yourself? You know, what we call self-talk, you know, where you think. So I'm going to talk to you about this morning, just for a little bit here, and about what are you calling yourself? Because, you know, people sometimes say, well, you know, you guys get too caught up on words. Well, let me just tell you this, okay? Just so you'll be understanding this. You know, life really consists of only three things. Thoughts, words, and deeds. You can't do righteousness any more than by your thoughts, your words, and your deeds. You can't sin any more than by your thoughts and your words and deeds. So if you get your thoughts, your words, and your deeds right, you got life whipped. But here's what you're going to discover. If you get your words right, it'll help you get your thoughts right, which will help you get your deeds right. So thoughts and deeds are greatly affected by our words. So I want to talk about, what are you calling yourself? You know, we could talk about a lot of things, but I'm just going to follow the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? Yeah. Let's go here to Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm going to just read to you out of Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah verse 4, chapter 1. It says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. You know, God's been thinking about us for a long time. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet unto the nations. So God's thinking about us so much before we're even born, that He's already knows the plan He has for us. Then, now I want you to notice now, Jeremiah said, verse number 6, then said I. Now, how many know what I say, what you say, may not be always the right thing to say? Amen. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Or your translation may say, I'm a youth. This word means anywhere from a child to a young adolescent. I am a child. I can't speak. So Jeremiah was young when God called him. He was young. And he said, I can't do this. That was his evaluation of his own self. I can't do this. But verse says, but the Lord said unto me. How many know it's more important what He says about you than it is what you say about you? Amen. And sometimes you have to change what you say about you, not sometimes, all the time. You have to change what you say about you to what He says about you. Well, what's He said about me, Pastor? Well, you know, listen, I thought about that this morning, because some people, Most people that come to our church are probably pretty schooled in the Bible, you know. I mean, if they come here and regularly, they probably pretty schooled. But yet still, there's a lot of people, they don't know what God says about them. You know, they don't know. But, you know, if you just knew one thing, if you just knew that he said in his word that you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, if that's all you knew, that's enough to live victorious.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, one word from God will set you free. Amen. So, then the Lord said, see, Jeremiah said, I'm a child, I cannot speak, but the Lord said unto me, say not, don't say that. So would God tell us there's things we're not supposed to say? He did Jeremiah, didn't he? Don't say, I am a child. Amen. Don't say that. You remember when God called Moses and he saw the burning bush, you know, and he said, behold. I always get tickled at that part where he sees the bush and he says, behold, I will turn aside and see why this bush is burning, but it's not burnt. I mean, I would have been like, wow. I wouldn't have been like so, you know, calm about it. I was like, and he turns aside and God begins to talk to him and he begins to tell him, you know, that he's going to deliver his people, the Israelites, out of Egyptian bondage. And, you know, and he begins to tell Moses what he's going to do and who he is. You know, Moses said, well, who are you? I mean, what am I going to tell him? You know, I mean, you understand, we read this, we know. Moses is just living this. Right. If you get that, if you know what I'm talking about. We read, we already know who he is. Moses doesn't know who he is.
Right. Right.
Amen. He, you know, in their thinking, there's a multitude of gods. You know, Egyptians had all kinds of gods, frogs gods, you know, fly gods, lice gods. I mean, you know, I'd be an atheist if that was God, all right? But thank God we serve the living God, right? And so, you know, he turns aside and God says, you know, who do I tell him? I mean, he said, you tell him I am that I am, or I am who I am. Amen. I am. And so he, you know, but Moses' response was, you know, I can't do this. I can't speak right. And, you know, it made God angry. Because how many think God's smart enough to know what you and I can do?
Right. Amen.
Amen. He's smart enough to know what we're capable of doing. You know, he made us, and we're fearfully and wonderfully made, the Bible says.
Right.
Think about that, Psalm 139. You know, I don't know how accurate this is. I assume it is. I've heard it for years. If it's not, we'll just act like it is. But I've heard we only use about 10 to 12% of our brain. Some people less. Amen. Now, if that's so, could, you know, you see, and I have a friend, you know, in the ministry. He used to talk about this. You know, people say, I'm going to give you a piece of your mind. He said, I wouldn't do that if I was you. You don't have that much left. So, you know, but if you think about that, all right, if God, if that's true, we're only using 12% of our brain, what must Adam have been like?
Right.
Wow. And we're still, not, you know, it just depends on what you compare it to. If you don't compare us to God, we're still pretty smart. I mean, all the things that we can accomplish and do. So God knows, and Moses said, you know, I can't do this, I can't speak, and God got angry. He said, you know, he didn't like Moses saying those things. And God told Jeremiah, don't say that. Notice that, verse 7. But the Lord said, but say not I'm a child, for you shall go to all that I send you. And whatever I command you to speak, you'll speak that. And be not afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. Notice what he had to touch,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Right?
Now, how many remember, you know, we'll stop right there just for a minute. If you remember Isaiah, when the Lord called Isaiah, that Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he could have said, and he said, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. He could have said a lot of things. He could have said, you know, I've missed it here. I've missed it there. The people are, you know, they're doing this wrong and they're doing that wrong. But he said unclean lips.
Right.
He realized their speech was their problem.
Right.
And so God had an angel. An angel took a coal from off the fire of the altar and touched his lips. And he said, now your iniquity is cleansed. Your sin is purged.
Right.
But it began with his lips, with his mouth.
Amen.
So, you know, we're messing our lives up with our mouths.
Mm-hmm.
All of us. And we have to watch that. Amen. We have to watch what we call ourselves. Amen. So he, verse 9 again, he said, "But the Lord put forth his hand, he touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I've put my words in your mouth." How many know we got to change what we put in our mouth? God said, look, don't you say I'm a child. Don't you say I'm a youth. I'm going to put my words in your mouth. You speak my words. And verse 10, this is really good. He says, "See, I have this day set you over the nations, over the kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant." How many know some things need to be rooted out? Some things need to be pulled down. Some things need to be destroyed. Amen. But some things need to be built. And some things need to be planted. Now, how is he going to do it? With God's word. In his mouth. Amen. This reminds me of Hebrews 11:3, which says, you know, that by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God. So God framed his world, this world, by his words. I believe the truth is we frame our world by our words. You know what? What we're living in, it's a result of what we've been saying. Amen. So during this attack of the coronavirus, you know, don't, and I let me just challenge you. Don't be using your mouth to spread fear. Spread faith. Yes, do, you know, we you have to have a balance about this, you know. You know, you do everything you can in the natural. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, but just don't get in fear. Don't be, I don't know if you ever saw, probably a lot of you saw the movie, What About Bob? Have you ever seen that? All right. We watch it, you know, we've watched it several times. We watch it with TVG. It cuts out the Tourette syndrome. So when he has his Tourette syndrome, it just goes silent on our TV. Remember, he would get his hanky out and open the... How many of you don't have to live life that way?
Come on.
You know, you get ready to get... who all uses this vehicle? To me, now, you can do that if you want to, it's your business, but to me, you can get over into fear that way. You can have faith in the virus attacking you more than you do have faith in God's ability to protect you.
Right?
But... You, on the other side, you don't go up to somebody that has it and, you know, hug them and kiss them either.
Come on now.
Are you with me now?
Amen.
You know, it's kind of like when the devil said to Jesus, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, jump off this temple, jump off this pinnacle, because he'll give his angels charge over you." Well, that's true. God did say he'd give his angels charge over you, but not if you're going to be silly. Amen. You know, it's like a pastor that we know, her son was into this motocross cycle, jumping and flipping. You ever seen that? I mean, it's crazy. They're just flipping midair. He was into that kind of stuff, and he wrecked during an event, I think it was, a race, whatever it is they do, and he like broke his ankle or his leg badly. I mean, to the point it needs surgery, it needs a pin. And so, you know, he's in the hospital, and, you know, he says something to his mom, who is a pastor, or something about, "Well, I don't understand why this happened, because I pray before every race." And she said something to him like this: "Did it ever dawn on you that if you have to pray before you do something like that, that maybe you shouldn't do it?"
Amen.
You know, there's such thing as wisdom. Now, you know, that does, I'm not taking a swipe at those that do it. You know, I like to watch it occasionally, see it, you know, so keep doing it. But, you know, just understand, you're taking chances.
Right.
But yeah, at the same time, we don't get into fear. We don't do that. We stay in faith because we know God's going to protect us and keep us.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? Amen. So we frame our world with our words. So what are you saying about yourself? You know, you got to ask, what am I saying about myself? Amen. Now, you know, let's finish reading this out. Verse 11, he says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see?" And he said, "I see the rod of an almond tree." Now that, you know, that needs some explanation. The rod of an almond tree, Jeremiah understood that, you know, that when they was trying to see who had authority of the tribes, you know, they took Aaron's rod and put it away with the other people's rods that were challenging Aaron, and Aaron's rod budded, which showed he had the authority. And so God's just simply saying, "Look, hey, what do you see?" He said, "I see the rod of an almond tree." And I see authority. Then the Lord said, you have well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it.
Yeah.
How many know God doesn't perform our word?
That's right.
He performs his word.
That's right.
That's why his word needs to be in our mouth so he can have something to work with.
Yeah.
Now, if our words line up with his words, he has something to work with.
Right.
But you know, when you say, oh, that's just killing me.
Oh, no.
I mean, God better not work. You don't want God to work with that word, right?
Right.
You know, if I eat another strawberry, I'm just going to die. Well, don't eat more strawberries. I quit saying that stuff. You know, have you ever said, if I eat another piece of that, it's just going to kill me? Well, listen, how many, you know, you don't want God working with those words, right? I'm so dumb, I'm so stupid, I'm so ugly. Well, you want God to bring out all the past? I don't think so.
No.
See? And I'm not foolish enough to say, okay, you say that one time, bam, it's going to happen. You know, but if you keep saying that, you open doors.
Yes, you do.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I don't even know if I should tell this story. It's so silly. You know, sometimes. But, you know, I remember years ago we had a cat. Her name was Phoebe. I remember Phoebe. She was on Pastor Jerry's head one time years ago. I put her up there, though. Anyway, I asked him, I said, my cat bothering you? And she was so docile. She'd just lay there. He was like, it's whatever, you know. And I would call her Phoebe. Phoebe, you know, F-L-E-A, Phoebe. Now, some of you are going to think this story is silly, but I lived it, so, you know, whatever. But, you know, she was a country cat. You know, we were out in the country, lived out in the country, and, you know, she ran out there. She never got fleas, not one time, never contact. When we first got her, it was a little kitten. She had fleas, but we got rid of those. But all that time, she never had them. We moved to the city. When we moved down here, we moved to the city, and I kept calling her Phoebe, and Phyllis would say, you better stop that. But I just kept calling, Phoebe. And you know what? One day she got fleas. And you know where they were at? You know how I knew she had fleas? Because I was sitting reading my Bible in my study, in my lazy boy. I'm sitting there reading my Bible, and I see a flea jump across my page. My chair is full of fleas. They're nowhere else in the house but in my study. That's it. We had to bomb my study. I said it and 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 said it. And finally, it's like, okay, is that what you want? Here you go. You got some fleas. Now, a lot of people think that's a silly story, but hey, you know, words have power if you keep saying them.
Amen.
And so from then on, I quit calling her Phoebe. Matter of fact, I would dance her around. I would do silly things. I'd hold her up by her paws and dance around and say, just as I am, without one flea. I start changing my confession. And I know that's silly and it sounds silly, but it is the truth. It did happen. And it could have just been a comical way of God just saying to me, you have what you say. Amen. Let's look at Genesis chapter 17. Go over there. Genesis 17. You've got your Bible at home. Go to Genesis 17 or your phone or your iPad or whatever you have. Go to that. Genesis 17. I'm just talking to you about what are you calling yourself? What are you saying about yourself? It's not just enough to say good things at church. What are you saying Monday through Saturday when you're not at church? Or hopefully you're here on Wednesday. But, you know, what are you saying? So Genesis chapter 17, let's go there. And verse number 3, Abram, this is God began to talk to Abram. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold my covenants with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. Neither shall your name any more be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For a father of many nations I have made you. Now you have to understand the background of this is Abraham and Sarah, his wife, they were barren. They had no children of their between Abraham and Sarah. And yet God promised them a seed through Sarah, a child. That's what God had said, but at this point, that's not happened. And then God comes to him, he makes a covenant with him. If you look at verse 2, behold, I'll make my covenant between me and you and multiply you exceedingly. So God makes a covenant with him, and here's the thing. He changes his name. From this point on, he no longer calls himself Abraham. Abram. He calls himself Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Now, that's really interesting because, you know, listen, we don't think a whole lot about names. You know, we name our kids whatever we decide to name them, you know, whatever we decide. We just name them. Some people might, but most people don't give a whole lot of thought to it. They just call them whatever they think sounds good, or there's trends, you know. I'm a little older. My name is Joseph Mark. I go by Mark, but it's Joseph Mark. You don't find that kids being named that much now because it's a different trend. I'm just believing it's coming back. But anyway, these people were different. They named their kids on how they wanted them to turn out, or sometimes they named them prophetically. And so when Abram changed his name to Abraham, all the people around know what he's saying. He is saying, I am a father of a multitude, yet he has no children. And he's an old man. So you have to understand, it's highly likely he got some ridicule about this. He got some teasing over this. But he didn't change. He didn't deviate. In other words, he called himself what God called him. You know, sometimes in life, what God calls you, your life doesn't look like that. Amen. You know, I remember people talking about how some particular minister, I remember him talking about how he would preach prosperity, that God would meet your needs. And he said, you know, I had, you know, see that my pants wore out, hole in my shoes, and four bald tires, but I kept preaching it. Now, you know, a lot of people ridiculed that. Because look at him. Preaches prosperity, and he's broke. But you have to call yourself what God calls you if you want to ever want to get there. And eventually, this particular minister I'm thinking about, he did get there in the blessing of the Lord. Amen. And had plenty, you know. But he called himself, he didn't wait till he saw something before he called himself that. He called himself that when he didn't see it. Abram called himself Abraham when he didn't see a thing. And it came to pass. The Bible tells us that that Moses, when he became of age, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He said, that's not who I am anymore. I'm not identifying with that now. Right now, God's called me out to be a deliverer of his people. I can't be the son of Pharaoh's daughter and be a deliverer of God's people at the same time. So now you understand that in the natural, it looked like he was giving up a whole lot. Can you imagine being the son of Pharaoh's daughter? I mean, you are in the, no doubt, the richest household in the land. You have everything. You have all the niceties. You have the life of luxury. And he realizes, if I'm going to be what God's called me to be, I have to choose not to be called that, but to be called this. But I'll tell you something, God made it up to him, didn't he? Anybody know what Pharaoh's daughter's name was? Anybody even know what Pharaoh's name was? Well, yeah, it was Pharaoh. No, that was his title. Does anybody know? You know, there might be three people in Evansville that might know that. I don't know. But here, everybody around the world knows who Moses is. Right? I mean, hey, Charlton Heston played him. Come on. That's good stuff. So what I'm saying is he had to refuse to be called things. You have to refuse to be called things. Amen? You know, so that's something that we have to think about. What are you calling yourself? You know what the Bible calls us? Kings and priests. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what the Bible says? Ecclesiastes says that in the word of a king, there's power. Yes. I mean, a king just rules by his words, right? And the Bible says in Romans 5:17, it says that when we receive righteousness, that we are to, the Amplified Bible says, reign in life as kings. Right. Hallelujah. Well, how do kings reign? By their words. Right. By their words. So we have to change what we're saying. Amen. All right, let's go to one last scripture this morning. I hope you're getting something out of this. Proverbs 18. We've been here before, but we're going to go back here and close here in Proverbs 18. While you're going, let me remind you of this. You know, Philemon said, you know, that little book right before Hebrews that you never read? That's a good book. He said, Paul actually was writing this. Paul said that we're to acknowledge every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. You know, that God, that must mean that when we got born again, God put some good things in us. So we have to acknowledge it. And it says the sharing of our faith becomes powerful by acknowledging every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. I'm convinced if the world saw a victorious church, they'd want to be a part of it. But sometimes, you know, the portrayal we give is we don't have any more power over this stuff going on than you do. Well, we do. We do. And so, you know, when the world doesn't see that power, you know, I mean, I'm glad when I got saved, I came to a church that had power. There was power present. I could feel the power. You know, we don't go by feelings, but I could feel it. You know, if you stick, you know, a screwdriver into an outlet, two screwdrivers in an outlet, you're going to feel something. There's power there. Well, you got to plug in, you know. And then when I went to that church, I felt power. I sensed power. I knew there was power. Matter of fact, it scared me. I thought, man, I don't need to be here. I don't belong here. There's supernatural stuff going on here. I'm a hippie, man. I don't need to be here. That's exactly where I needed to be. But I often thought, what if that church would have been like a lot of churches that believe everything's passed away? All the miracles, all the signs. And I saw all kinds of things happen in that church, all kinds of signs and miracles and things and healings and so forth. And God's still doing them today. Yes. Pastor Jerry was just telling me just a couple days ago, I think it was, that, you know, he came up for prayer, had a knot, was it a knot, a growth on his arm, and it disappeared. Well, God's still doing those kind of things. I've seen that happen before, you know. And, you know, so thank God for power, everybody. Yes. And the church needs to see, the world needs to see a church full of power. But if we're just talking unbelief and doubt like everybody else, there's not going to be power flowing because unbelief limits the power of God. So we have to talk faith, amen? We have to speak. And sometimes we have to say things that we don't see yet, amen? Now here in Proverbs, got it? Verse 20 says, a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. In other words, you're going to have in life what you're saying out your mouth. Notice this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And I think you know that scripture, and you've heard it several times, but we need to know death and life's in the power of the tongue. You know, God told us to choose life. He told Israel, choose life. Didn't he? Well, one of the ways we choose life is by our words. I remember a story. This was a lot of years ago. I remember this story that I heard Brother Hagin tell. Brother Hagin, you know, had a campus is still there, Rhema campus in Broken Arrow. And he said, you know, a pastor in the town asked Brother Hagin. He said, would you please come and pray for this young man in my church that attends my church? Said he is in the hospital, and the doctors say he's not going to live, and he's 39 years old, so he's too young to die. And so Brother Hagin said, "Yeah, I sure do." They said, "I have school to teach, but once I get off school, I'll stop by and I'll pray for this young man." And so he went in to pray for the young man. Well, when he was praying for the young man, he heard this from the Lord. Brother Hagin heard this from the Lord. He said, "He has set laws into motion that cannot now be reversed." He has set laws into motion which cannot now be reversed. That's all he heard. He didn't know what it meant, but he knew it wasn't good. Okay? So afterwards, the pastor said to Brother Hagin, he said, Doc, did God say something to you? He said, well, you know, matter of fact, he did. You know, he said, you hate to tell the pastor this, you know, because he's wanting the young man to be healed. And he said, the Lord said to me, he said, he has set laws into motion which cannot now be reversed. He didn't know what it meant. Well, the young man died. And he went, Brother Hagin went to his funeral. And as they're standing around, the pastor and Brother Hagin are standing there, the young man's brother is standing there with them. And the pastor said to Brother Hagin, he said, would you tell his brother what the Lord said? So Brother Hagin told this young man that had died, he told his brother. He said, well, I heard the Lord say, he has set laws into motion which cannot now be reversed. The young man's brother said, I know exactly what that means. He said, my brother, all of his life has said, I will not live past 40 years old. He said, he told Brother Hagin, he said that all of his life, I will not live past 40 years old. Well, at 39, he died. Now, what the Lord was saying was, the young man was in an unconscious position. He's the only one that could reverse that. Prayer wasn't going to reverse that. Brother Hagin's words weren't going to reverse that. This young man declared that over his life, and only he could reverse it. And he wasn't in any position to reverse it. Wow. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Amen. How many know we got to put God's word in our mouth?
Amen.
I tell you what, let's look at one last scripture before we go. All right.
Amen.
Let's do that. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 55. I think it'd be good for us to read this as we close this out today. Isaiah chapter 55 at home. If you got your Bible, go there to Isaiah 55. I want you to lay your eyes on this, Isaiah chapter 55, and we will close right here for today, Isaiah 55. So God's Word is alive. The Bible says it's a living thing, amen? Isaiah 55 says this. Let's go to, let's just start at verse 8. God said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Thank God his ways aren't ours, right? Amen. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. God said, I think higher than you. Amen. My ways are higher than yours. But you know, he didn't just stop and say, well, take that. He let us know there's a way for us to think his thoughts. Amen. He says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, returns not there, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. See, what is he saying? He's saying, look, if you put my word in you, you can think my thoughts.
Amen.
And know my ways. Amen. Did you ever think about, let me just stop there just for a minute. Did you ever think about what if someone was to say to you, you know, today you can think a thought that God has thought. Would you jump on that?
Amen.
Man, I would. A thought that God has thought?
Right.
Yeah. You know, right here are the thoughts that God has thought.
Amen.
You can every day.
Amen.
He says, verse 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, let me show you this. God said, I'm sending my word, and just like the rain comes down, the snow, it waters the earth and causes it to bring forth fruit. That's what my word will do in your life. I send my word, and my word will cause your life to bring forth.
Yes.
But the good thing about it is this. You and I can speak God's word. Mm-hmm. Listen to what it says now. Here's what will happen to us. If we quit calling ourselves what the world calls us and what, you know, we've been trained to call ourselves. I don't know if you've seen this, but I have seen this, where parents just, maybe one particular child in the family, they speak negative things over that child and keep saying it. And you know, it comes to pass. Now, that child can break it if they get born again and get that curse thrown off of them, but it literally puts a curse on them. It literally curses their life. I have seen that. You know, that child's not going to be any good. They're not going to turn out. Instead of speaking the right things over them, you know? Now, notice what will happen if you put God's word, if you speak God's word over your life. Verse 12, for you shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace. We all want that, right? Joy and peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. In other words, you'll be a pleasant person to be around. Wouldn't you like it every time you go outside, you know, the trees start clapping for you?
Amen.
Hey, there's Jill. Oh. You know, the mountains start singing. That sounds like pretty good stuff. I think what God is saying is that your life will be such a joy that you'll just be pleasurable to be around.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 13, instead of the thorn, how many know the thorn's the curse? Thorns and thistles are the curse. Genesis chapter 3. Instead of the thorn shall come the fir tree. Instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name. For an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. What's Isaiah saying? Here's what he's saying. If you speak God's word over your life, if you call yourself what God called you, the blessing will come up in your life instead of the curse. But it's up to the word of God being on your life. You can't just say what you feel about yourself. You can't just say what you think about yourself. You can't just say what other people say about you. You got to say what the Word says. When you do that, everything changes. Here's the good thing about when you speak the Word of God. You know, if Hebrews chapter, well, here's one good thing. There's a lot of good things, but here's one good thing. When you speak the Word of God, the Bible tells us this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Let us hold fast our confession, for we have a great high priest who has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. I was reading that verse one day, and it dawned on me what it really meant. It meant this. We've got someone that's already passed into heavens that's working on our behalf. That's why we got to hold fast to our confession of the Word, because you got to give someone's passed into the heavens to help you. But if you don't say the Word, he has nothing to work with. So what are you calling yourself this morning? What are you saying about yourself? You know, I'm just stupid. I'm just dumb. And, you know, I can't. Stop saying that. This isn't like I don't want this to sound like a self-help message or, you know, positive thinking message. This is the Word of God.
Amen.
This isn't just, see, you know, all the self-help stuff, it's better to think good things than it is to think bad things, that's for sure. But if you don't add the Word to it, you don't have any God power with it, and it's doomed for failure.
That's right.
If it's backed by the Word, then you have some power. Amen?
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.